and this is our last round of in preparation of the budget vote, and we welcome and appreciate the presence of the chairperson, acting chairperson of FFC, and I can see there's a CFO there leading the department. Our staff is here, and our family friends of PNG and the others, they are here. But what is important, we need to introduce ourselves so that we know who is in our midst. We have requested the FFC. In fact, normally we normally interact with FFC every time and again. And this time we requested them to come and brief us on the alternative, the research that they have done in terms of a reviewer of the rig, as we all are aware that the rig has not performed as it was expected, but we all know the reasons why. So we are not going to dwell much on the reasons. But what is important, we need to come up with the proposal to a solution. There was an issue of the title deeds. Last year, the FFC made a research of the outstanding title deeds that have not yet been issued to the beneficiaries. So we requested them to review that how far now the progress in terms of issuing those title deeds and how much that has been distributed during this period. Then those are the issues. In terms of the solutions to the funding model, the chairperson has requested that they are still finalizing that issue, so it's not going to be presented today. So I think we need to accept that, because we need when they have done a final product. So on that note, you are more than welcome, and I would like us to quickly introduce ourselves. Honourable Gorman, may you start?
Good morning, I'm Gloria Gorman, member of the committee. Morning, it's Doris Labute, a member of this committee. Morning, Jaro Sosivo, a member of the committee and the people of the committee.
Good morning, Patty Duncan, a member of this committee.
Morning, Makon Jobe, a member of the committee.
Good morning, Henry Eksteen, Finance Fiscal Commission.
Good morning, Mbulelo Chang and DDG Project Management Unit.
Good morning, Anton Arendsen, Human Settlements Planning in the National Department.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Sonani Machadzi, CFO, National Department, Human Settlements. Thank you.
Morning, my name is Nyameko Mbengo from the Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning. My name is Begin Konyane, responsible for the Parliamentary Committee on Human Services in the Department of National Human Settlements.
Good morning. I'm Sean Solomon from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, everybody. Milile Khaba, Assistant to the Director General, Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning. I'm Gail Eddy from the Parliamentary Office at FOLGA.
Good morning. I'm Graham Rabbitheimer from Eyewitness News, KFM and Cape Talk.
Morning. I'm Sibo Maputi from PMG.
Morning. Misal Jappi, Ethical Political Consulting.
Good morning. My name is Malaso Mulepo from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning. I'm Susan Smith. I'm a researcher for the DA.
From the FSC.
I'm Bongani Kumalo from the Financial and Fiscal Commission.
Good morning, Sasha Peters, the Financial and Fiscal Commission.
Morning, I'm Collins Miatera, Community Sector.
Morning, I'm Leah Patroy, the Treasurer for the Portfolio Committee.
Morning, Chairperson, Roy Bula, Member of the Committee. Sorry for being late.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues from the department and from the committee support staff. Let me first of all confirm what the Chairperson has already indicated. We were requested to brief this committee on three issues. The one was the review of the rural household infrastructure grant. The second one was the housing funding model, which basically relates to the work that we've been doing around our public hearings process on the financing of human settlements. And then the third aspect relates to the title deeds, as the Chairperson has already indicated. Now, we are just about finishing our consultation processes, in particular with the Department of Human Settlements, around the reports on the public hearings. And we are hoping that we will be done with that process in the next week or so. And then we will then be able to come back at an appropriate time to brief the committee around the outcomes of that process. Now, so basically today we are going to address two issues, which is the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. And like I indicated the last time that I was here with this committee, the submission on this particular issue, I think we've made two submissions. The first was really just giving a bit of advice to the Chairperson of the committee when she first raised the issue with us of what was happening in terms of the implementation of the grant. And then the second one was a more concrete submission that we then made in March when we were dealing with the Division of Revenue Bill. And I did indicate at that particular point that the approach that we took around this grant is really informed by certain principles around conditional grants that the Commission basically recommended some time ago that were accepted by government on the use and how we utilize conditional grants. So they are basically two key principles that drive the Commission's views around the use of conditional grants. It's national priority programs that are identified as even though they reside in a different sphere of government. But when they are identified and defined as key priority programs that need a special attention, then those have to be raised, and they can actually be funded through the use of conditional grants. But there has to be a time frame to that. So when you give a time frame and say, over this period of time, this is what we need to have done, and this is the funding that is allocated to it, the expectation is that we will, from the beginning, ensure that there is sufficient capacity to do that. And then at the end, we will also review. So we must have an exit strategy as we move along. So we build an exit strategy. What do we do after we have dealt with or we have addressed the problem? So that's the one side of the use of conditional grants. The other side of the use of conditional grants is where certain types of services have got implications across jurisdictions. Let's say it's across provinces, like your tertiary health services. Those types of training of university academics or medical specialists and all of those, they have specific what we call in economics externalities. Those are fiscal externalities that cut across provinces or municipalities. Then you have to compensate those provinces that actually produce those through the conditional grant system. Those are two key principles that inform, from the Commission's perspective, the utilization of conditional grants in the South African system of intergovernmental fiscal relations. And given that a rural sanitation was identified as a key priority through a presidential proclamation, it's actually proper that a conditional grant basically be established to deal with that. So it was an appropriate funding instrument to do that. Now, the important thing then becomes one of how do we actually implement that. We have picked up because the function resides elsewhere. And I don't think that that is such a big problem, that the function is a local government function, it's a national government, it's a national priority, so there are special measures that need to be put in place to deal with that, or that can be put in place to deal with that particular issue. So the issue of where the function resides from the Commission's perspective does not really matter, because if it's agreed that this is a national priority, in terms of funding that priority, it's important that proper measures are put in place to deal with that. So we can have a discussion about what the legal side of it, and that's not the Commission's competence. What we are concerned with is that once something has been identified, the appropriate funding mechanisms are actually put in place. And so the policy implications, whatever they are, basically in the purview of the executive to deal with those. For us, is to ensure that there's an equitable allocation of resources to be able to perform that function at whatever level it's supposed to be performed. So, having been part of the discussions that subsequently took place around this particular matter, we, as I have already indicated, have taken certain positions on this. And I must say, Chairperson, that those positions that we expressed when we first had this discussion with you have not changed from the Commission's point of view. We do understand that there was a process that a joint sitting of this particular committee and the Standing Committee on Appropriations had decided to embark on. We were part of that process. We did not have any feedback. So I don't know what has happened. I know is that as late as October, when the Budget Council was meeting to discuss some of the changes, that meeting had still not taken place. And for us, the consultation on the Division of Revenue Bill with the National Treasury starts around about that time. We did raise the issue of this grant, but in particular, in our submission, and we subsequently made a special submission at the request of the Standing Committee on Appropriation on that particular issue. We did make a formal submission, which basically indicated that the Commission was not in support of shifting this grant from the one schedule to the other. Wanted the status quo to be maintained, and the reasons for why that is the case will actually be apparent when Savelo next to me here will take you through the presentation. Then the second aspect that we will address is the issue of the title deeds. We've done a bit of work around that. There are some challenges around the data, basically. But again, Savelo will highlight some of those things, and then we can have a discussion. Can I then, Chair, ask Savelo to take us through the presentation with that background?
Okay, thanks very much. I will start with the presentation outline that we have here, the introduction part of which most of it Chairperson has already spoken to, and the check the access to sanitation services between 2001 and 2011, comparing whether there's been a progress or not. And then look at the financial performance of the grant, rural household and social grant, and then also the non-financial performance in terms of units that have been delivered, planned and delivered. And then look at the developments that are there. Again, the chairperson has already started to talk to them during 2013. And then tackle some issues on title deeds relating to policy and the registration backlog that we have, and then some challenges and then some recommendations at the end. Okay, here, just to say the government made a rural development one of the major priorities in the year 2007, and then where sanitation was identified as one of the key programs to form part of that of rural development strategy. And then here, during that time, the government set a target to achieve universal access to sanitation by next year, which is 2014. And we know that in 2007, when proclamation was made by the president, proclamation was that there must be a shift in that function, sanitation function, from Department of Water Affairs to Department of Human Settlements. But legislation giving effect to that decision is yet to be passed. Chairperson has introduced, has already spoken that sanitation, because it has been made as a national priority, and then it was necessary for a grant to be established to try to achieve, to deliver to that elimination of or improving access to sanitation by 2014. And then it is in that context that the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant was introduced. Here is just a breakdown to show that in 2001, for example, you look at rural municipalities, the backlog was 77%, and then by 2011, it was still high at 53% in rural municipalities where we're focusing here. And this shows that by 2011, there was still a huge challenge. And then given the performance that we'll see as I progress, we'll see that we're not making much progress, and then we're unlikely then to achieve the target that we set for 2014. Okay, this is known as the performance of the grant, where over the years since it has been introduced during the 2010-11 financial year, performance has been poor up until 2012-13. And then another thing to note here is that by 2012 stadium, the allocation that was made was a bit high. It was high, and then the department felt that probably because of the capacity reasons, it won't be used. And then hence there was a reduction by 138 million. And then across these years, what you see for 2010-11, you see about 67% spending, 72% spending in 2011-12, and then only 17% for 2012-13, but this was reported was up to January this year. So we don't know, we don't have data to confirm what happened post-January, because there's 3 months again, February and March and April, and now we're in May. Probably there's progress, but we don't have data on that. Okay, again, what has been alarming here is that in 2011, the spending was about 11% in February, and by March, it increased. And then this implies that there was additional spending of about 55.1%, which is equivalent to 52 million in the period of just 1 month. And then one could just question whether this is a real spend, where it was transferred, or it was just transferred, or it's just a fiscal dumping issue. Underspending continued again over these years, as I've already indicated. Okay, on the non-procurement side now, generally there's been significantly underperforming across provinces. This has been determined by looking at what provinces had set as targets versus the unit that has been completed. This has been done for two financial years, that is 2010-11 and 2011-12. And then despite poor performance, okay, I think here I must point on this table. This was the performance, for example. To say, if you look at Eastern Cape, the target that was set for 2010-11 was 2,500, and then the actual number of units that was completed was 957. So this is underperformance that we are talking about. And then across these provinces, most of those provinces were underperforming. If you look at this column comparing with this column, then you see that there's a significant underperformance. But again, we're saying here, despite poor performance in 2010-11, all provinces increased their targets in 2011-12. For example, the Eastern Cape increased its target from 2,500 units to 7,400 units in 2011-12. And then this is increased. If you look at this, this was the target in 2010-11, and then for 2011-12, target was increased, was more than doubled to 7,400. Okay, but now looking forward to say what happened in 2011-12, we see that there's been a slight improvement in the 2011-12 financial year. And here again, you need to take into account that there's been increase in the targets by provinces. For example, KZN and Limpopo, here this was percentage that was completed of the target by KZN, which was 43%, and it has increased 74% in 2011-12. Same applies with the Limpopo. It was 21%, and then it has increased to 34%. And then again, looking at the target numbers, that has increased. Then that's why I was saying that there's been a slight improvement. Okay, development on this rural household infrastructure grant is that we've seen that in 2013 budget, the grant was changed from an indirect grant to a direct grant. And then changing this grant, it was changed from Schedule 6B to Schedule 5B. And such a change will have some implications, which I listed here. For example, that means now that funds are transferred directly to municipalities. And the long lead time for contract grant spending performance may reverse improvement trends that we are seeing, that we have just shown. And allocations to beneficiary municipality must be gazetted. The implementing role played by the department will just be minimal. And the department must increase planning, monitoring, and evaluation role, because now it has to monitor these municipalities more than it has to, because now it's monitoring, but now it has to monitor those municipalities when it has not much say on which municipalities benefit and what are the targets set by those municipalities. Okay. Minister of Finance announced a comprehensive review of all local government constitutional grants. And then this rural household infrastructure grant is to be part of that broader review. And then changing that rural household infrastructure grant from Schedule 6 to Schedule B should have waited for completion of that review at least, so that it will form part of that broader review instead of reviewing it piecemeal review. Okay, now on this, more than 3.2 million housing units and phases of size were delivered by 2010-11 through housing subsidy program, various programs that we have. Beneficiaries receiving a house on an ownership basis would have received the casualties to the property. This is what the policy says. And the BNG is explicit in identifying the need to ensure that beneficiaries of subsidized houses or housing should also have a formal title deed. Currently, there's a great number of households of beneficiaries who do not have real title deeds is unknown. But there's a study that was done by Shisaka where the estimations were that it's just over one-third, or it's between 1.1 to 1.4 million of those subsidy beneficiaries who do not have title deeds to their properties. Due to the supporting framework or format by the Department of National Department of Human Settlements, it is difficult to separate units completed from those that are under construction. As a result, total subsidized units registered over the period. What we did here, we compared the whole, we've just taken the figure to say, because it will say houses completed and under construction. So now we've taken that figure to comment to say whether title deeds have been issued or not. So on average, more than 50% of housing units completed under construction have been delivered without registration of formal title deeds. And this could be less than this 50%, because here we're just taking that number, which also has the houses that are in progress, are not yet completed. So maybe it could be less than 50% in reality. So by 2010-11, the department itself estimated that at least 35% of subsidized houses had been delivered without registration of formal title deeds, which is why we're saying this 50% is too much because of that part, which is still houses which are in progress. Then 35% could be a fair explanation of what's happening. Okay, across provinces here, what we are seeing, the blue bar shows number of units completed or under construction per province since 1994 to 2009, and the red one, total subject to property registration. So you could say that all across these provinces, what's happening is that the number of units completed is far above from the number of title deeds that have been issued to households. And this confirms what was just on the previous slide, to say it's about 35% or more people who haven't received their title deeds. So there are a number of reasons why there are delays in issuing title deeds to beneficiaries. And these are attributed to delays in the township establishment processes and proclamation. So this is driven mainly by the problems that are there in implementation of the process within provinces and municipalities themselves, and as a result of the lack of capacity within these institutions, such as land surveyors. There are also legislative challenges, again, that play a role in this. There's a lot of pieces of legislation, which we mentioned a few here, to say there's provincial ordinance, the Less Formal Township Establishment Act, and the DFA, which of all, they require different activities to be undertaken for registration, which affects the speed in which registration takes place. Failure to hand over title deeds is another reason, and this is due to the non-payment of fees by the project owners, and in this case could be provinces or municipalities. In some cases, beneficiaries are not collecting their title deeds, and this is attributed to the lack of understanding of the importance of title deeds. And again, in some instances, if the owner passes away, the next person, in fact, should be the one who is making follow-ups to make sure that he or she gets the title deed. But this is not happening again. Again, it's attributed to the lack of the importance of title deed. There are challenges, especially on communal land. And then there are difficulties, again, on, because in some instances, the top structure, I mean, town establishment is preceded by the top structure and occupation before it's really happening. Okay, these are a few recommendations that we put together. Noting what the chairperson has mentioned, to say in 2010 there was a joint meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlement together with this, the Committee on Appropriation, where a request was made to all the DGs of the relevant departments, including National Treasury, Cooperative Governance, and Human Settlements, need to meet and present a way forward on the grant. And then on that meeting, the commission was represented by the chairperson. And at this point, the commission has already made submission to the committee that the grant should not be incorporated into MIG or be under cooperative government until a proper assessment of the challenges had been conducted and the primary objective achieved. Because the commission believing that meeting that was supposed to happen didn't happen. And then again, the commission reiterates recommendations contained in the submission that it has made for 2013 Division of Revenue Bill, that this grant, the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, should remain as a Schedule B grant. And should there be a need to review it this should be done as part of the broader review of all infrastructure grants. The Commission is aware of the challenges that afflict different grants as a result of the program being introduced, and as such welcomes the impending review of commercial grants that National Treasury and Government had committed to in 2013. The Commission further recommends that the Government should review and amend the different pieces of legislation which we did mention during our presentation that are impeding hampering the process of registration of title deeds. And there should be ongoing educational campaigns on the importance of the title deeds to beneficiaries, youth and community leaders, and civil organizations. And that the number of houses transferred should be used as an indicator in the department's annual government plans and be subject to audit of predetermined outputs. And here we are noting that the department does set the number of units to be delivered each year as targets. So if you could set number of houses that are transferred each year as targets, again, it could improve the reporting and the matching to say is what has been produced been transferred to a person who's about to benefit. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and your team with the presentation. Let me give the members the opportunity to interact, but I wanted to request the department to assist us on this area of the power, because that is the bone of contention that we are having. Because as far as to our understanding is that the current arrangement does not take away the authority of the department to make a follow-up or to monitor, read. But I think the issue of gazetting is very critical. So I don't know if you would like to say something on that one before the interaction. Because even for us, we need to know what are those municipalities that have been allocated to, so that we follow it, because sanitation has been proclaimed by the state president. That one, we are not going to relinquish it. President proclaimed sanitation to be administered by human settlements. So we'll follow all these processes. But I want to know the current situation. What is your understanding? And do you know how many municipalities that have benefited from this rate allocation? Has it been gazetted already?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will take the responsibility of that question. Chair, while given an opportunity, let me start by appreciating also the presentation by the acting chairperson and the team in respect of them reviewing or coming up with the study, and indicate as a direct question to you the powers of National Department of Human Settlements. Chair, we accepted at the time when the appropriation was passed and the bill that as this grant moves from Schedule 6B to 5B, that in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, we as the Human Settlements National have powers over direct monitoring of the grant to these municipalities in such a way that we've even taken a resolution, given all the challenges that we know are happening at municipalities, that when they perform their procurement processes, we tend to be part of those processes, given the challenges that we have from the inception of the rural housing whole infrastructure and sanitation generally. So we have the institutional capacity as national department that we want to carry forward to municipalities just so that they do not build to the same mistakes that we could accept as we have accepted. So the lessons that we have learned, we want to pass it over to the municipalities for the performance of this grant to enhance and to have sort of a direct attitude that is positive towards the development of sanitation to the ground. So we accept, Chairperson, the condition that has also been laid by FSC to say we have to tighten our planning, we have to tighten our monitoring, and we have to tighten the controls that we have to put, but we have to do it in conjunction with the municipalities. We are developing or enhancing the current grant framework just so that we also put those conditions to those municipalities, and then we monitor that in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. Thank you, Chair. As we targeted, Chairperson, according to the municipalities that we have put in. For now, Chairperson, we don't have the number of them, but we have been presenting those municipalities to the Portfolio Committee. The Chair would recall that we were to come back to the committee to outline the performance of RIC separate from the budget of the department in particular. So we do have those municipalities.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is only the one on the one on the question, just a clarity, Chair. When you were saying funds transferred directly to municipalities, luckily now the powers are within the department and national. When you get these papers and then we are trying to make a follow up, like the 4 million that's going to this state municipality, the one that's going to this municipality, the problem now is they don't get it. You say 4 million is going to Mbashi municipality. When it comes to Mbashi, it knows nothing about it. Of course, it is on the district. They don't know even who was implementing this. They just say that the people are doing their job. Now that we are in charge, we have got powers. Well, what is going on? Of course, it is where the funds are missing. We are doing our oversight and to just. Where are these the toilets? Because the money has gone to Moma, to Masati. Where is it? We don't get it. But it has gone to municipality at the level, not at a local one. Where is it supposed to be transferred to the municipality direct? I just want to get a clarity there. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank the FSC for the presentation, Chairperson. All what is raised here, I think we received this presentation, I'm sure it was 2 weeks ago. So I just want to speak on the latest developments, the 2013 developments on RIC and the RIC recommendation, Chairperson. I don't have a question on this matter, but I just want to say we are crossing fingers that the funds transferred to those municipalities will be utilized for this purpose, and those municipalities will have that capacity to implement, because it's stressful when you do oversight and go to these provinces and find that the RIC funds are just put aside while people need this infrastructure. So we are hoping and praying that this will work for the benefit of the people out there. And also that the National Department will assist us in making sure that the monitoring is done as expected. While we do our oversight as well, the department will also assist us in planning, monitoring, and evaluation, because we want only the value for money on the ground, nothing else. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to check, but when I checked the recommendation, I think I'm covered on the title deed, because my question was based on the challenges concerning the title deeds, where it indicates that the lack of capacity within provinces and municipalities, and saying that if there is a lack of capacity, failure to hand over title deed will just occur timelessly. So, but I think I've been covered on the last bulletin on the recommendation, and unless I get more clarity, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think this is a very sad state of affairs. And like we said the other day with one of our other entities, that we have an elephant in the room. I don't quite know which animal we're going to compare the states with. I know that my colleague is not here this morning, but he has raised also, Stephen Mughalapa has raised great concerns previously when we dealt with this matter. And I really think that the department at this stage and age, not having more information on all the municipalities, I mean, we have 283 municipalities in this country, and I'm not even sure whether the department can tell us which or how many municipalities actually received the grant and what the status of that grant is. However, the figures that we do have is very clear. And we know that there was a huge underspending on the REIC in 2010-11 with a value of 38.4 million. And then also in 11-12, there was an underspending of 70.2 million rand. It is not just only the underspending. It means that there are still so many people out there, Chairperson, that is without toilets. And I think that is a great concern. The fact that we're almost now 20 years old in this democracy, and to think that there are so many people that are still without the basic service such as sanitation. I also want to just maybe make a comment, Chairperson, on what the department now has said, that they have direct, we have, National has direct monitoring obligation to ensure that the REIC is implemented. And they also said that they do have the capacity. If they have the capacity, why is this the state that we are in today? And I think that we want them not to just, tell us that they have capacity. They must tell us what is the capacity that they have, because I'm sure that they don't have the capacity. I'm sure that they don't have the capacity. That's right. I agree, Chairperson. Yes, but earlier on they also said that they do have the capacity, so that is why I'm saying today, if they say that they do have capacity, they must actually tell us what is in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We really are rehashing, but I think it's because there is such a big concern. To me, sanitation should really be one of the easiest things to deliver out there, and yet it has become such a monster. I have a couple of questions. I don't want to go over all the stuff that we've dealt with previously, but you talk about, and I think our problem is getting a hold of the extent of the problem out there. And you talk here about Shisaka recently estimated that just over a third. Now, who is Shisaka? Was this commissioned by the department to do research of what is out there? And just how reliable are these figures that we have here, so that we can perhaps follow up on that? And then I would also like to know, you know, on the meeting, the joint meeting that we had when the recommendations were made between all the parties that were present, the sectors, there was no follow-up done. My question here is, who was to champion that follow-up meeting? Was it the department? Was it Treasury? Was it appropriations? And this is what worries me. We get into meetings and then nobody is held responsible for calling the meeting together. And I think that is problematic. And then I just put, this is a comment. If this has been gazetted already, there's not much point in us even discussing it. But it worries me, and I think we need to learn from this, that... And I think it's good to call for reviews so that we examine the thing properly and find out where the problems really are, but that should be done quickly, not drawn out things. And because now what happens is this has been changed and there's a review, so there's possibly further changes that are going to come. So, and I agree, it brings with it all the uncertainties, you know, with that. And then everybody says, you know, is it going to be with us? Is it not going to be with us? And this is the way we go. So nobody puts heart and soul into it. And I've been talking to people out there who are involved in sanitation, not necessarily with the department. And there are people out there who can make a contribution. But, I don't know, we're faffing around. So I think we've jumped the gun. I agree with FFC. Why do we have somebody like FFC making recommendations and we just disregard them? So let's learn. And I think it's because of that that the whole sanitation thing has kind of fallen off the tracks, because we don't first of all do the thorough homework. So the whole thing doesn't get transferred, for example. But anyway, we've been over all of that. Just on the title deeds, I think we have a big challenge here in the legislation. And I think this is something that we must really look at. Because, you know, we want to make it easier for people to work, not more difficult. And we want something simple. I heard a good thing on the radio this morning. I'm a great one with SAFM in the mornings. It was saying something about somebody rolling out the red carpet when you go to other countries for people, but when you come here to the red tape, they've got to kind of worry about. But so we need to make it simple for people, not more difficult. And I think that's been very much our approach. So I think on the title deeds, and then I want to ask the department regarding that. I would imagine it's possible to put that into a quantifiable thing so that we can actually follow how these title deeds are being, so that we've got something to monitor are being allocated. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, and we are always very grateful for presentations that also help to open up our own minds on the issues that we have been dealing with. Even if, for instance,
there isn't anything drastically new, but just to look at issues and from time to time, you can actually see that solutions are possible in spite of the difficulties. And I think to me, this is what this presentation has done. It is, I think, unfortunate that the way, you know, we function, not only the department, but I think it's also us even in Parliament, this tendency of working only in your own area and continuing taking decisions as if you are alone. Yet we are dealing here with a whole set up of a whole nation and the complete life, you know, of the people. And I don't know, I don't have the answer, but I think one will continue hammering that we really need to improve our interdepartmental and intergovernmental working relations. That's where it lies. Because if one department takes a decision here and another department takes a decision on a similar issue, and we find that actually the decisions are not going together, it's going to cause problems, it's going to cause changes, it's going to need reviews, that it delays the whole process. Now, I think I also have the same question that Mrs. Bowman has raised here as to the recommendations that are made by the Fiscal Commission. To me, they are very practical and real, and it looks they are possible. But the question is, why do they not get taken seriously by the department? I mean, it's not only in human settlements we've found similar problems, even with other committees that we're participating in. I think we need to look into that. For instance, I would, you know, this question of the title deeds going along with the delivery of the units, as we deliver the units, it would be so convenient, you know, for everybody, if at the same time you delivered the title deed. But of course it means that we have to plan ahead. We have to plan ahead as we build the units. Those who are responsible for delivering the title deed should also be working on it, so that at the end the targets of the units and the targets of the title deeds go along together. I mean, the practical examples of the difficulties that people experience probably because of this. Look at what I think we just saw something on TV very recently in PE. I think it's in PE, somewhere in PE, Nelson Mandela Bay, where the houses are there. They've been completed, RDP houses have been completed. And there was that original list when the construction started, and it was based on that. But now, after the houses have been completed, those who are in the original list find that their houses are actually occupied by someone else. Now, I'm just thinking that if it was possible, you know, to deliver the house together with the title deed, then you would be able to chase the unqualified occupier out of that house, because they would not be owning the title deed. But it becomes possible now because the houses go alone, the delivery of the houses goes alone, and the delivery of the title deeds comes much, much, much later. And so we are, as we are trying to solve the problem, we are actually complicating the experiences of the people out there on the ground. So I'm then saying, what are the constraints really? What are the practical constraints the department would face in achieving this recommendation? Delivery of units and delivery of title deeds to go along together. Now, again, we appreciate, you know, the presentation. We appreciate some of the recommendations that are made by the SSFC, and we appreciate also, personally, I appreciate very much the fact that they are firm on saying the state, their position is not changed. The status quo remains. I think that should really set the discussions when this matter is being reviewed. I think on a serious and direct line, because there's no use changing all the time. But I think the position of the committee on this one is no. Now, on RIG then, I think here the monitoring for the department is going to be the most important part. I'm not sure how you are going to do it. I know my municipality, Amahlathi, it was on the very original list. I remember actually remarking and saying, I'm so happy to see this name. It's a small local municipality. To see this name, you know, on an official document, and that at least the people of Amahlathi have been recognized. But since then, I have never been able to find where those players are. Until only last week. Last week, I had a discussion with some of the councillors, because I've been trying to ask them, where are the toilets? We would like to see them. And I found the councillors don't know anything about toilets. They said, no, we don't have a program for toilets. But then one of the residents of one of the areas said, yes, toilets in our area are being constructed. Now, the problem is, here are the councillors. They don't know that this is happening. Here is a resident who says, yes, the province is actually constructing the toilets in our area. And there again you find this problem of not working together. The municipality is not aware. The municipality is headquarters in Staderham. And some miles away, some kilometers away, the province from East London is building the toilets. But this municipality, where the toilets are being built, is not ours. So you can see the question of monitoring, and sometimes it can even be more serious than that. But those are some of the practical problems that you are facing. How you are going to do it, I don't know. But we would like a solution to be found to this problem. Now, there is this other worrying sector, particularly about my province, the Eastern Cape, and in the area of human settlement for that matter, what the Fiscal Commission calls possible fiscal dumping. Mm-hmm. It happens there. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the delivery rises from some 10% to 55%, from 11% to 55%. And I know right now, for instance, this is something else. One of the metros there, DCM, has not used a whole 470 million rand, and yet they claim they're going to be able to use it. When? On what? All of a sudden. So that's another area that we really have to look into. Of course, it goes along with capacity, we know, but it's a very serious thing. Because that is taxpayers' money. I get worried when I realize that the tax I am paying all of a sudden is going to be used on something that it was never meant for, because that is what actually happens. So the monitoring part of it is going to be very, very serious. MINMEC must really assist us on this one, because MINMEC is there, and MINMEC, the provincial authorities are in direct contact with the national, but they are also in direct contact with the municipalities. So I think they should really play a much more visible role in this area to solve some of the problems. Because even if the national department is doing its best and is giving is allocating funds, you know, but if those funds cannot be used effectively, we end up in the same situation, no delivery, and people out there complaining and still suffering. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. First and foremost, I was just going to find out about the what Mamanjobe has just arranged, the monitoring, when looking at this this 1 month additional of 55.1 allocated funds has been spent. I was just going to find out about the monitoring. Are they monitoring at the end? What exactly is it that they've done after following this? Because it's so impossible that
in 1 month's time. After in 1 month's time, 55.1 that could be spent. Then Mam Joma has just raised that. And with the Titan deeds, the presenter just mentioned that the beneficiaries are not collecting their title deeds. I'm sure maybe they don't know what to do. How are they letting these people to know that they have to come in and collect their title deeds? Because it might happen that they don't know, they are sitting there not knowing that there are title deeds that they are supposed to collect. Some of the questions Chairperson have been asked then.
Thank you, Chair. I think the subject has been thoroughly exhausted, but just a few points that come to mind is that if you look at the notion of sanitation being a national priority, then you further go on to, firstly, I must say that the recommendations by the Commission, if we keep heed to this, and the first point there, Chair, on page 9 makes reference to synchronization of legislation and policies. I think that is key. And that goes further, Chair. If you look at sanitation being a national priority, and you have the presidential priority programs, etc. Now, I'm a bit skeptical that whilst you may announce all of this in its content, somehow or the other I feel that in terms of the nullification of government's legislation, it nullifies government's policy. So it's in one hand it's very, very good to say this is a presidential project and you have to deliver 400,000 homes, blah, 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 etc. Down the line you go and you say, hang on, we want to deliver it. We have the budget to deliver it, but this is the destabilizing factor because now the very same concept of schedule 5 and Schedule 6. Now we need to marry this, and earlier on we heard that we have an elephant in the room, and one of my colleagues is saying that perhaps we need to find another animal. But what I see here is that we have an elephant which is moving very, very slow, but wants to leave an imprint. And that is good, because we are now picking up from the challenges that we have already had, and we want to make some tangible improvements. Having said that, Chair, I'm very mindful and skeptical about the issue of the rig, because you know, the service delivery protests that we see with regards to service, especially in rural areas, capacity has been raised. But if you look back with regards to the history of the MIG funding, when it actually used to deal with the building of sports programs, and a very minimal of 5 or 6 only projects were delivered at that stage. So I hear what the department is saying with regards to complete power of monitoring. That also appears to me as just being an expression if you don't evaluate the issue of competency, the capacity, the skills at local municipality. So why I say that? Currently, if you look at rural municipalities in some areas, you find that this is the function of the district council. Currently, as we speak, we have projects that are blocked. And some of the problems for the blockage is that bulk services are not delivered. So we need to marry all of this and just announcing that we have the power in terms of Schedule 5, Schedule 6 to go and monitor these municipalities, that's sufficient. You've got to have a thorough evaluation. Chair, the minister called a national audit not long ago, a few years back, with regard to the issue of fraud and corruption and title deeds, etc. I welcome the commissioner's recommendations with committee leaders. Perhaps maybe we should look at also involving the, what is your opinion about the ward committees, because a lot of emphasis is placed on the ward committees. Chair, with regard to title deeds and the issue about, you know, of just over 50% or 35%. Now, in terms of law, you only entitle one subsidy. So you register for one subsidy. Now, by not having these 35-50% on your database gives you a distorted figure of your backlogs and also the subsidies. Finally, what I just wanted to stress there is perhaps maybe you could highlight the issue about the national database and the list. It has been a big issue in Itigweni municipality that covered the entire page last week, that there is no housing list. Now it comes back to your legislation, to your funding, and here we go in and we're standing on top of the roof and we're shouting and we're saying, listen, we've underspent, but we did not synchronize and don't have our projects registered, we don't have our legislation in order, and that's precisely why we don't have the capacity to spend. I think it's absolutely, Chair, and it's imperative that we call for a complete thorough audit in terms of all of the challenging areas. What's the opinion of the Commission? Thank you.
Thank you so much. I just want to ask one question. Do you ever utilize, I went to the department, do you ever utilize the services of the community development workers? Because you will never have your own. There is a structure that has been established by this government. Those community development workers together with the ward committees. Why can't you have a direct interaction with them? Because I'm a CDW, those are the ones, they are within the community and they know exactly what is going on for each and every development that is taking place there. They know the challenges. So, iyakulandoka mamunjobe athi abantu basebenza esikoni. They don't utilize the opportunities that are there. U government nje, they are working in silos. There is an abundant facilities or a capacity that can be utilized by the respective departments. Because CDWs, they are responding directly from the national, from the president, in fact. So that land mentality yokuthi CDWs, they are used by the councillors to protect their terrain. It can be broken by the departments if they utilize them. The other issue is the issue of the policy now. It relates to the policy. The issue of the title deeds, make sure that there is development, there is title deeds, they are going to come out, once. So it's in the policy department. If you don't have it, you must make sure that you are incorporated in policy review. Norms and standards. If you put forward the norms and standards to these municipalities that are supposed to be building these toilets, Rick, what are the norms and standards? Do they know? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honorable members. I think most of the issues that have been raised are really comments that require a little bit of emphasis from our side. One of the key things which is linked to the implementation of conditional grants is that the accountability framework has to be very short. So whether the grant stays in schedule 6B or 5, goes to 5B or wherever it is, the national department has a very direct responsibility for ensuring that the money is actually spent where it is meant to be spent. Now, if you've got very weak intergovernmental relations, it will be a problem. So whatever happens at MINMEC, I mean, they can have that discussion at MINMEC, but if it does not flow down to the bottom where the money is supposed to be spent and that does not flow down in any organized way, it will be a problem. And I think one of the lessons that we can draw from the process that this committee had suggested last year is that intergovernmental relations story does not actually work, because it should have been a very simple process to actually get three departments, powerful departments, to exercise leadership and basically come back to this committee and say, this is what is broken and this is how we're going to fix it. Now, if that does not happen at that level, then obviously as you go deeper down, it gets worse. And that is why you would, the Honourable Member is raising, that the councillors don't know that there is this project that is actually happening. Why would councillors not know? And who exercise oversight over the municipality if councillors don't know? So the whole oversight mechanism does not work then if it's like that, because things are just happening because somebody wants them to happen. And you've got no coordination, and that is a very key problem that as a commission we identified even as we moved away from the Sienza Manje project and all the other projects that we had that were trying to build capacity at local government level to be able to do these things, because they are functions of local government. So we have all of these efforts and we spend a lot of money, but when you actually ask different departments that are actually responsible at a national level for this thing, they don't actually speak to each other. And it's a problem. It will remain a problem. I was having a discussion with one of the colleagues from the department, and I was raising the issue that we've got now the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency. What is their role going to be in ensuring that these municipalities that receive this actually are capacitated? Because that agency is supposed to provide support to all municipalities, irrespective of what the function is on the capital side. And so it's very important that as we move forward with the current type of an arrangement, and I'm going to come back to the problem that for us it's a problem, the advocacy involved in putting in some of these grants in the system and closing them out, without actually having checked what the key challenges were that were faced, without any proper exit strategy. We shouldn't be asking questions about the monitoring capability of the department at this point in time, because a decision has been taken. So when we take a decision and then we look at the readiness afterwards, we compromise the credibility of the whole system. And it's not only in the respect of this grant. We have the same kind of issues that we raised with the National Treasury around the water that's now going into the Department of Water. So we have those issues. And all of this, if you put it in the context of the comprehensive review that the Minister spoke about when he tabled his budget, then you start asking yourself, what if this review that is coming to place means we must change again? So we will continue changing these things, responding to things, because when something is broken, it doesn't work, so let's just move this and put it elsewhere. And we don't actually check what the implications of doing that actually are for the people on the ground. So it's important that we raise that point. With regard to, I think there was a question around who is Shisaka and how do they come into this picture. Shisaka was one of the service providers that we actually worked with in reviewing the broader housing funding model, that public hearings process that we went through. They provided information that we hide. I think also what I need to add here, in terms of looking forward with the now the arrangement that has been accepted, that this grant is going to be sitting where it's sitting, even though our principles are still remain the same from our side. The issue is that if there is non-compliance with the conditions associated, and that is why it's important that the department takes the lead in tightening the framework. If there's non-compliance, there are consequences that go beyond only the department. Because if you spend money in a particular way or you don't report in a particular way, National Treasury can also come in. And it's directly to the municipality that can actually result to stopping of transfer, that can result to stopping of transfer over and above the grant itself in other areas. So it's important that these things are actually taken, that seriousness around how this actually unfolds, especially when we talk about rural municipalities, that generally the reports that we recently completed on the local government fiscal framework tells us that capacity issues in rural municipalities are real. There are serious issues with capacity, especially when it comes to implementing infrastructure programs. And that can be a problem if it's not taken very seriously at a national department level. So that responsibility is fundamental. I think the issue of the Honorable Bula, you raised an interesting story about when we talk about national policies and presidential projects and the funding thereof and the legislative framework, which might actually present a problem. And as I said in my opening remarks, that there are people that must deal with those particular issues. As a commission, we must make sure that if you put a mandate to a sphere of government, whether it's a national sphere, it's a provincial sphere, or it's a local government sphere, if you put a mandate, there has to be financial and fiscal implications for that. And then we must actually come in and advise, how do you actually deal with those financial implications? And that is where the commission comes in. So the story around how do you deal with those kinds of things, that is why we're saying that if you pick something and say, okay, this is a function that belongs to local government, and then you say the president has decided that this must be prioritized, the funding mechanism, the constitution is very clear on how allocations must be determined. So you can use a formula, you can get function committees sitting to decide what they want to do, but it has to be equitable, and there are listed criteria that you must take into account. It doesn't say the money must go to where the function actually sits. It says you must make sure that they have sufficient resources to perform the mandate assigned to them or the responsibilities assigned to them by the Constitution. So the conditional grant mechanism is another way of doing it. So you can target these things and say, no, okay, the grant will go in this particular fashion. This one is the equitable share. They can take their own decisions. This one is a conditional grant because we want to prioritize this particular. And it really goes down to the people, because it does speak to the efficiency with which resources are utilized. So that's perfectly, it's not a problem from our side. It is a problem when somebody then challenges it and says, no, but this is our function, which is, sometimes we've had those kinds of discussions where, no, this is not a provincial function, or this is not a national function, it's a local government function. But it's a function which is meant to address someone somewhere in South Africa, not for its own sake. So what is important is that function is performed. That is what we are concerned about as a commission. And I think, Chairperson, I won't answer the story about community development workers, but I think it goes back to this story of our institutions of intergovernmental coordination, because they are part of that system, and so they should have a role to play from our perspective. Let me stop there, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I think let me start with the question of the municipalities, and I think this will also respond to both Dada Nomama Ngale. Chair, I think let us commit ourselves to send that information, because it's a list of municipalities that we also presented to the portfolio committee, but I think at this point in time it was an oversight from our side not to bring them to the house. But there's a number of municipalities that are going to share the 106 million for the allocated for this 2013-14 moving forward. And I must say that what we're going to do, given the questions that have been raised by Uma Manjobe as well, is to detect as to whether the municipalities that have been identified to receive the allocation as per the needs that have been identified by the sanitation units covers the concerns that the committees had raised. And I'm raising this because just prior to the meeting we had a small discussion with Dada Machoba to say there are elements of districts and councils that are not aware of the grant itself and how we allocate that grant. It's a question, and if not, it's a problem. So I'm noting these concerns because of the fact that we understand and respect the constituency that the portfolio committee is serving, and if there are no services that are being adhered to or that are not being taken seriously at those areas, then it means that we are not utilizing our allocations efficiently. So we will provide that information to the portfolio, and I think we could just as well send it to Secretariat through the email, but I commit to send it. Chair, we took a responsibility, just like we have the responsibility in terms of monitoring the rural household, the Human Settlement Development Grant, the USDG, and it's no different now with the Schedule 5B. It runs the same. But having indicated, Chair, earlier on to say we know the challenges that even the current metros that are accredited, the worst is that the municipalities, we note the evaluation that we will do, and I think it's very much important for us to do that review, and that will actually give us an indication of which animal, like the committee is saying, that we are dealing with, just so that we improve and bring in more controls and within those assessments that shall have been made. And I think that will be a good study for us as well to know exactly what challenges these municipalities have and what proper controls do we put into place to that effect. And this will also enable us to be able to say if we allocate to each municipality, then if there's a need for us to change and give it to the municipality that is more capacitated, and it will build sanitation to those units, I think it will be the proper way to do it, Chairperson. Chair, I must indicate also that the issue of fiscal dumping, as depicted by Fiscal Commission, it is well noted, but I must say that we also noted this increase, but we know at the department why this increase had suddenly gave a rise to the spending. The Chairperson and the committee will also note that just at the spare of a moment, and we accepted the delay that we had in terms of appointing the 6 additional contractors, and the fact that we had a challenge with IDT, and the fact that we had to redirect the funds accordingly to the 6 contractors. And there was also an element of some invoices not forthcoming, particularly from the Mvula Trust. Well, IDT is a different story, and I share. We will come back to the committee to indicate some of the challenges, again, that we depicted from IDT. So IDT is a different story, but
the most of the increase of spending comes from Vula Trust as well as the six additional contractors. And their contract, Chairperson, just as we know, is terminating in 2 months' time. They are finalizing the issue of the 6B schedule. But we shall see moving forward in terms of the 106 that we are indicating. But we also commit ourselves to come back to the committee with full details. But the issue of the list of all municipalities, we will send them. But I also note the issue of the possible fiscal dumping. But the point here that we want to emphasize is that we are not transferring the money, and we did not transfer the money in this instance. We paid the contractors that have been contracted directly. So those were paid based on the milestone and based on the invoices and based on the report that has been also been assessed and signed off by the project manager who was also appointed to project manage the process itself. So we did not transfer the money, and I would not actually, where I'm sitting, accept that we have a possible fiscal dumping, because we can be in a position to provide the committee with full proof of where the money has been taken to and where toilets have been constructed and the possible work in progress in areas where the toilets are not finished. We will provide that information. And somehow, because at that point in time, the grant also allowed that material be purchased. So we do have proof of where the particularly the new service providers had bought the material and where that material is stored. So that is actually forming part of the work in progress, and we can complement that with the funds and the invoices that had been paid. So I think the issue of the norms and standard, we have arranged, and I think I can couple this with the point that has been raised by the acting chairperson in terms of the IGRs that are not working. We're quite aware that somehow, although where we are sitting, we believe that there are IGR standards. But if obviously the onlookers outside see it differently, we also note that point, because we're subject to critics, and I think it's very much important for us to look at it and improve our intergovernmental relations. I'm not defensive.
Because your intergovernmental relations are not practical. You just meet on those forums, but we need the outcome. There is no outcome. Because we still, observe the challenges that are there. Because if the IGR forums were working appropriately, National Treasury, we have been waiting for this meeting to be set up, and we wanted the report. Until now, we have not yet received the report. So it means it's not working. It's not working. You can sit there, literally 100 hours. To us, it means nothing. It means nothing. What we want the outcome of those meetings, positive outcome. There are delivery agreements that have been signed between yourselves and the respective departments, but what is happening on the ground? Nothing. So, unfortunately, we're defensive. To us, it does not mean anything.
I know that I was actually relating this to the issue of the norms and standards. Okay, but I know that. But in as far as the meeting that we were tasked with, I must indicate, Chairperson, that the Director General of Human Settlements and the DG of Treasury did meet subsequent to the mandate that we received at the Standing Committee of Appropriations. And what I've just noted, we are having a meeting next week with DPSA as agreed at that meeting. So that meeting has been set between Treasury, and Treasury has been coordinating that. So
you were given the time frame. When are you going to come before the portfolio committee and report before these two committees? We want a report. Don't you take things there and then you said, no, we have met. We want a feedback. When are you going to receive that feedback?
Chair, I note that, but what I'm saying is that the first meeting that we had with the DG came up with a report,
And then the last meeting that will actually provide the portfolio committee with a substantial report is the one that we're having on Wednesday with DPSA. And then a report will be provided. That meeting is taking place. And I'll also be part of that with the Director General as well. Then the report will be provided to the committee. Chair, in, as far as Tajik is concerned, we have a DDG strategy, PMU, who's going to respond to that. Thank you very much.
Chair, if you allow, I want first to commend my colleagues from the FSC. I think they have presented a very balanced report on the performance of the grant. I need to state that the RIG, or the sanitation programs, falls under PMU as well. The department has geared itself up, and we've managed to build some capacity to manage it. I think what is required, Chair, is more than just evaluation. I think there's a lot of hand-holding which should be required to get those municipalities to perform. Evaluation, yes, but I think what FSC is recommending is that we need to invest in forward planning as well and in project packaging, because if you don't have a good pipeline of projects, you won't be able to spend the money, and there will be no performance both on the financial and also on the non-financial side. So we agree with the report, Chair. I think it makes perfect sense. In terms of the title deeds, Chair, we have commissioned a study as a department to understand the magnitude of the problem. We took a resolution as MINMEC as well to instruct the provinces to prioritize and expedite the process of awarding title deeds. I am aware that provinces such as the Western Cape, Gauteng, I think Limpopo as well at some stage, they started the process of prioritizing the awarding of the title deeds. For instance, in the Western Cape, I am aware that they have managed to categorize the problem by project and by municipality. But the picture, Chair, there was a question that was raised by Mamunjobe, and that is, what are the constraining factors? Why is it difficult to get the title deeds awarded to the beneficiaries? There is a myriad of problems. I must be honest here. There isn't one problem. There are quite a number of problems that have made it extremely difficult to award the title deeds. And because of those challenges, some of the contractors, they take it decision to simply walk away from that particular challenge. For instance, I'm aware that in some of the provinces, the decision will be taken to withhold an amount of about 2,000 rands or 1,000 rands so that the contractor can finalize the project and make sure that the title deeds are awarded. Remember, if the title deed is not awarded, it means that that particular project is not complete. And it means that the owner of that house doesn't own that house. You simply have a happy letter. Now, because you start building, and when you start building in any project, you haven't dealt with issues of land ownership. You simply have a permission to build, but you don't own the land. You may be building, I'll give you one practical example. In Khabo, there is a project called Roy Daki. The land is owned by the Department of Public Works, but there is a contractor on site who is building right now, and they will be completing that particular project in 2 months' time, or in 3 months' time. But the land is owned by the Department of Public Works, not owned by the municipality. They have been given a permission to build. What simply needs to happen before you can award the title deed is to transfer that particular piece of land to the municipality. There will be no title deed that will be issued until that happens. In other words, Public Works must then be in a position to give the land to the municipality. So you have to deal with those issues first. There is also another town, I think it's called Hosting Town, here in the Western Cape as well, where the development happens more than 10 years ago. But the land was owned by the town. It wasn't owned by the municipality. And the majority of those beneficiaries there could not get title deeds because the land had to be transferred from the province to the municipality before that happened. So there are quite a number of challenges that we faced with in terms of title deeds you may find that we complete a project without transferring the land to the municipalities or to the province if the province is a developer. So we've categorized most of the challenges by, we can present this and we'll make that information available to the committee. The department, as of yesterday, NIMNEC took a department to the resolution that provinces must prioritize the awarding of title deeds. Another challenge, because of the time lag that it has taken for us to resolve the problem, you may find that now you have a third generation of owners in that particular house. Then the question is, who do you give the title deed to? Because the house has changed so many hands over the last 8 years or the last 6 years. So you have to go find the original beneficiary. If you don't find the original beneficiary, then you have to make a decision as to who then gets the title deed. Is it the current occupier, who is not even a relative of the original beneficiary? So there are quite a number of challenges that we're faced with, and we'll make that information available. But the decision is where it's easy to award the title deed, please go ahead and do it. And that's what NIMNEC decided yesterday. Thank you, Chair.
I just want to be clear. You've just said now about the land, building and the land hasn't been transferred. I thought that was illegal. My understanding is, and I mean, we've got settlements on private land and everything, and you can't have, municipalities can't go in and do, put in services or anything because they don't own the land, and there's all these hold-ups. I'm asking a question. Am I under the wrong impression here? Can you go ahead with a development without first transferring the land?
They've given a permission. There is a permission. But want to know what kind of permission, because if the State Department provides that permission in a written form and so on, so that, okay, Duncan?
Yes, Chairperson, I just want to ask, since it is brought under our attention that there's now a commission, a study is commissioned now, when is it going to take place? And then also, just to touch on to Member Bowman, is I think this whole study, Jefferson, is going to open up a can of worms, because if we look at the EIAs, I'm even concerned, if the EIA is done, who's taking responsibility, overall? Of houses being built that is not allocated or under the control of the municipality and allocated to the beneficiaries. I really don't understand. I think that the department this time must, when they do compile a report for us, that they start with A and end with Z and be very specific. I also want to say, Chairperson, that I am very concerned about what we've, the FCC said. I just want to touch on to something else, Chairperson, and I know that we might not have the time today to ask questions, and maybe, like the FCC has said, maybe the department must not be, or maybe they must not answer us today, so that we have enough time to interrogate. I don't think that we have enough time to interrogate and find out enough things. The FCC today has said that they will advise, Chairperson, that they advise the departments with regard to processes and their functions and everything. Now, I'm sure that the FCC has advised the department on the leak. FFC, I'm sorry. That the FFC has advised. Now, with regard to the leak, what I do pick up is, remember I always refer to the IDP process. And the IDP process is a legislative process. And in that document, you find everything. The councillors should know the percentage of outstanding, the outstanding percentage on sanitation. Obviously, when they do get the amount of money, then they know that it is for a percentage of sanitation delivery. So I do believe today that the IGR is not working. It is definitely not working. And the fact that we have quarterly reporting, why is the department not able to, through their monitoring, report to us on the rig? I think that there is enough information out there, Chairperson. There is absolutely enough information out there to tell us exactly what the backlog is. The department in 2012 and 2013 reduced the amount, the original amount for the delivery on sanitation. Why did they do that? Here it states that it was too much given past performance. What do they mean by that? If they know that there is a backlog, why did they lower that amount? And at the end of January 2013 this year, Jefferson, only 61 million has been used of the 138 million, which means 77 million is left. Can they today tell us, up to April, is it going to be an underspending, or is it going to be that the complete delivery for the 138 million has actually been used? Because we're now in May, and we're talking about 2013. And I'm going to stop now, Jefferson. I can see that you want to stop me, so you're stopping my frame of mind. I also want to say that with regard to the title deeds, remember, Jefferson, the Human Rights Commission and the Public Protector brought a report to this committee, and the department is well aware of those reports because they have been present. I have also written a letter to the Public Protector asking the Public Protector to do an investigation, making sure that all 283 municipalities are investigated, as well as the 9 provinces, as well as everybody else that has stock. If we have stock that falls directly under the National Department, then that also needs to be investigated. But I hear now today that MinMec, I don't know if it is on the title deed, is now going to commission a study. But what I do want to say with regard to the title deed that is a concern to me is the fact that when these projects are started, the beneficiaries, and I appreciate, and I want to maybe highlight that, I appreciate that the FFC has today made recommendations and said education. And I think education with regard to the beneficiaries, there's a period of time where people have to wait while these houses are built. And during that period, a process and a program can be put in place by the municipality, and then maybe get the necessary funding for that and educate these people. And I hope that the department is going to focus on that process, on the education part, and then also discuss that in MinMec. And then lastly, on what our official said about the Western Cape, I just want to say that what the Western Cape is currently doing with regard to the title deeds is they have put a scheme in place, and they call it the Enhanced Extended Subsidy Scheme to enable people that the title deeds
for the transfer of title deeds. That is the scheme that the Western Cape has put in place. So I just thought, let me mention that we can even ask for a report from the Western Cape on that, because maybe we can see and maybe we can learn if it is working and whether it is not working. Again, thanks.
No, thank you, Chair. As I've always maintained, Western Cape was developed. But Chair, the previous speaker spoke about the Enhanced Extended Discount Benefit Scheme. Yes, it's also implemented in Itigwene is doing very well progressively, and it's a national policy. So it is duty incumbent upon the department to ensure the rollout of that policy. Chair, but not long ago, there were certain structures that were subpoenaed to this committee from the Western Cape where they were evicted and they were not receiving the title deeds, etc. And I think you had to intervene in that matter. So yes, we cannot say that everything is hunky-dory in Western Cape itself. We must carry a thorough audit of the challenges nationally and show that we implement that. But having said that, Chair, I think with regards to the title deeds, And I want to a certain extent, agree with the interpretation of the responses, because you also had the challenges of declaring a certain development into a township in terms of the Town Planning Scheme Act, etc. And there were also moratoriums that were placed. But from then to now, we are progressively moving forward, but more has to be done with regard to that. One specific municipality in the rural area in KwaZulu-Natal I'm making reference to is the Amdoni municipality, which there were intervention from province, subsequently from national, and today the township is declared. Chair, but my follow-up to the department with regards to, Chair, it's always nice to think big, but you can't cut a three-piece suit if you only bought material for a two-piece. So my appeal to the department is, that please kindly, the time for throwing stones is over now, Chair. We have to pick those very same stones and start building homes. Chair, we don't want to come back here in 6 months' time to hear that the department has given 10 million rand to a certain municipality, yet there's ghost toilets. We don't want to hear that. We welcome the notion that the list is going to become, but it must correlate with factual. So what my follow-up question is this. What is going to come first? I most certainly want to sew a three-piece suit, but I'll only do it when I decide if I have extra material. Is the list going to come first of the municipalities who have identified the number of toilet sanitation that is required? Because you're going to now deploy or direct your funding to those specific municipalities based on your outcomes and your audit. So is the money going to go first or your evaluation is going to be done first?
I wanted to check this issue of this synchronization of the legislation. I think you need to take a responsibility. The department has to lead, because it's the department that is suffering in terms of this fragmentation and of this legislation. So I think you need to take a lead. What you need to demand, no colleagues, we discuss this issue so that as you are heading for the reviewer of the Housing Act and the Human Settlements Act. So you need to make sure that those issues are taken into consideration. But you should start now interacting with your colleagues. Okay, response so that
members, again the in response to some of the issues raised by yourselves around titling, again, some fair comments made by the FFC, and I think some of the issues raised by Ndu are not necessarily in response to what the presentation or the questions have been raised. But really just serves to confirm that the department is mindful of some of the shortcomings in respect of titling, but acknowledges that the response is multifaceted. So Ndu's indicated that the department is currently in the throes of working and has roped in the expertise of the Estate Agency Affairs Board to quantify exactly the extent of the issues at hand, a number of which have already been listed by the FFC. Our deliberations with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, dealing both from the aspects of the deeds registry as well as the matter of communal land, and I'll talk to that aspect in a few minutes. To get some detailed and quantifiable and empirical information around exactly what the extent of the issues are. So that's the one aspect. Further to the marching orders that Mbu's already talked about that has been taken very recently at MinMet, a further decision that has been taken at a technical level was that the National Department will forthwith monitor as part of its performance monitoring of provinces, regularly look at the aspect of deeds registration. All right, so more than just looking at financial and non-financial performance, key to that would be, we'd be asking the question, so for this quarter, for this year, how many titles have you in fact registered against the houses that have been built, in really simple terms? And that's a decision that has also recently been taken. So, and again, just to almost amplify the issues raised by the FFC on that one, I think it may just be useful to at this point just remind the committee and possibly also the FFC that there are various other programs in which we do provide secure tenure, but do not necessarily provide title. All right, I may be stating the obvious here, but the rental program would be one. The other, of course, the important one, it may just, I don't know if it's a rectification or it needs to be qualified, is the issue of secure tenure on communal land. I do stand to be corrected, but as far as I know, there is no legislation that does make a provision for title deeds on communal or what would be previously known as tribal land. Typically, it is the permission to occupy, or PTO, as we know it. So I think we may just want to qualify what has been presented to us this morning. That in itself presents a significant issue for the department and for the sector, because it really hinges on the ability for our colleagues in rural development to in fact vest that land, such to confirm ownership, and then allow for families on communal land to be issued those PTOs. We could get, I don't think time allows for us to get into the detail around the level of obtaining security that is provided by PTOs versus title deeds, but I think it may just need to be added to the report already provided by the FFC. I think for now, Chairperson, I'm going to give back to the to the CFO. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, I think we owe it to the Portfolio Committee the extensive report of the rural household infrastructure and the program itself. In that report, Chair, I think we will provide the committee with the history of the RIC and the program as it started by Human Settlements that's now in 2010, and based on the report of the FFC, because I see that they have figures from 2010, 11 the financial years that have passed. The issue of the backlog will also be there. The toilets that have been built to date, I think it's fair for us to indicate to that. The work in progress that is still outstanding to date, and we have a list of the work that has been not been finalized by the 31st of March. And based on the contract that we have with the service providers that we have appointed, including the six that have been appointed for the past 3 months. And then I think the work that was not attempted at all by the very same service provider, in particular the IDTs, because we all know that we had a challenge and that work that could not be finished by Imvula Trust. And I think that that report, Chair, will be comprehensive. But I must also say that in response to Mr. Bula's point, the list contains, or it was actually based on the specific needs that have been identified in those municipalities. But what I thought that it would be best for us, by the time we come up, we give that list, it being signed off, it considers the 2 points that have been raised by Ntate Machoba and Umamanjobe, for us to actually indicate, because, I mean, if they raise specific issues based on the specific districts and municipalities, and if they are not catered in that list, then it needs sort of to be re-looked at and for us to consider the needs as proposed by the Portfolio Committee. And hopefully we will come back with a response should we not be in a position to cater for that, particularly probably in the next financial year. Chair, I must actually also respond to Ma Duncan's point. And I did indicate to say we have proof of what has been spent from the 61% to the 240 that has been spent by the 31st of March. And that, like I said, in our report, we will provide details in respect of the report that I just indicated, from the number of targets that we anticipated to have and the work that has been completed by the 31st of March, including the work in progress. The 138 million, just for us to have common understanding, was the amount that was taken away, and in a way I'm responding to the correction by the FFC to say it is not the department that surrendered. Treasury took the money away from us based on the poor performance. That I agree. So we accepted the 131 being taken away from the 479 million. So we were left with 340 to spend until the 31st of March. Within that 340, we spent 240 million, and that amounts to 70% of the spending for this financial year. So the 100 million, we are in contact with National Treasury to roll it over for those contractors that are still work in progress and the way they see it in terms of them approving the rollover. But that information through you, Chairperson, will come back to the committee and provide, but the list is going to come first because that's what we promised the committee. Thank you very much. Are you finished? Chair, I think that's all from our side. Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, I just want to know, is there any comment on the legislation that we are raising here? Is that an issue for the department? We were talking about the need to look at the legislative process that's been raised here in this report.
No, Shepherd, it's just that, as I said, you know, these discussions, you think you are discussing one thing and then something else comes up. But the question of title deeds in communal land, you know, I'm a promoter of RDP houses being built in areas where people live, in the rural areas. Rather than building a separate village, but you can build
the RDP house where someone already has a stand. Yeah, now what has just come into mind from what the PDG has said is what then will be the position with those RDP houses built on communal land in terms of title deeds? Are we going to leave it to the current legislation which says the land is communal? I know during the time of former minister Togo Didiza, she tried, you know, to have people in the communal areas have title deeds. But if I remember very well, I'm not quite sure. I think that was rejected ultimately by the traditional leadership. Yeah. So does it mean then we will have to leave those RDP houses to the conditions that exist in those areas? It just came to mind, you know, as you raised this question of no title deeds for communal land. In other words, I'm asking whether I should continue promoting my campaign that a house should be built in areas where people live. Or is it a disadvantage for those people?
No, Chair, I think that the point that Honorable Bowman had raised earlier on with regards to the illegal, land, etc., I want to, perhaps maybe request the DGG to look into this matter because, Chairperson, there's a court case ruling in KwaZulu-Natal with regards to the Ingonyama Trust. And in view of that ruling, I might not agree with your interpretation because the court's ruling was that they were omitted from paying rates. Now, when do you pay rates? When you own the property. So I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Perhaps just look into the matter so that we could have a clear directive.
Let's leave this for another day. This is a long discussion, but I think the department has got a responsibility to ensure that they secure the tenure. It's in your mandate. So I don't know. But respond to the follow-up and then we close this chapter now.
Perhaps, Chair, the first question about whether there is a need for the legislation, it's a question that would require a thorough investigation of the current conveyancing arrangement in the country. The report that we got from CINMAC and Urban Landmarks, it tells us that the current conveyancing arrangement was not meant for this sector. It was not meant for the BNG, RTP, or subsidized sector. It's too cumbersome and it's too expensive. It was meant for the first world development, not for what we're doing in the BNG sector. It is in the report. Then the question is, how do you then... Sorry, it's Urban Denmark and Finnmark. It's the study that the department commissioned more than 2 years ago. We can make that report available to the committee. In fact, it's been presented to technical members as well. There is one school of thought which says come up with a new arrangement altogether to accommodate what is happening in the RTP space. But there are those who are saying create a local conveyancing arrangement at a local level which talks to the needs of the poor people. Because conveyancing, as you all know, is a very expensive exercise. And the whole thing about title deeds, the bigger part of it is conveyancing. How do you make sure that you do proper conveyancing?
I can't remember which province. There are those provinces that they in their reports, they stated that they've decided to have their own conveyancers. So to appoint their own conveyancers to make sure that there's the acceleration of the... So how does it link to that?
Because, if it's a turnkey development, if you appoint a contractor and it's a turnkey development, conveyancing is included in that contractual arrangement with the developers. But what contractors normally do in some areas, they simply walk away from that obligation because it's too cumbersome, it's too complicated, it takes more than 2 years to get everything done. And they will walk away because even the amount of money that the department will withhold will not be that significant. It won't affect their cash flow. For instance, you will decide to withhold 2,000 rands in order to make sure that the contractor gets the conveyancing part of it done and the title deed is awarded. But because of all the activities and the intricacies involved in that conveyancing arrangement, contractors simply walk away. So most provinces who are using a turnkey development approach tend to include that in the contract of the big turnkey contractors. So you can't do it as a standalone item. You want to do it as part of the development, as part of the construction process. But because of the complications, that's the point I was making, that you appoint a contractor, you haven't sorted out all the issues about the declaration of the land, and you have an arrangement with a national department or with a provincial department to go ahead and build. But it takes more than 3 years, even 4 years, to get the land transferred. So there are a lot of issues that are complicating this part. So it is a contractual issue more than anything else. It's not something that requires a legislation.
Chairperson, it is exactly for that reason that I suggested, this is in response to Mamun Jove's follow-up, that perhaps time does not allow for that, the very point that Mamun Jove has raised. The issues raised by Mbu are almost exacerbated when dealing with the issue of secure tenure on communal land. Yes, while you're not necessarily having to deal with the issue of conveyancing, you are needing to work very closely with our sister department, i.e. rural development and land reform. All right? And you recall the work that I indicated is being commissioned now by the Estate Agency Affairs Board. Part of that terms of reference is, in fact, the extent of the problem as it relates to communal land. So what exactly is the backlog? How long does it, in fact, take for a provincial department, and it would be a provincial department and not a municipality in this instance, a provincial department to get the necessary approvals from rural development? It's typically called a Section 28(1) certificate. Once that, and it's the equivalent of township establishment, if I may just very quickly draw comparisons. So that first needs to be done before a PTO can be issued. Now again, there's anecdotal evidence to suggest that there is, and we certainly wouldn't deny that, but exactly what the extent of the problem is, and here, again, just to confirm that those then are the sort of institutional arrangements that need to be tightened up between ourselves and our colleagues in rural development. Both, and this is now not only at a national but particularly at a provincial level. The same rules, of course, would apply a member Bula insofar as Ngunyama Trust land is concerned.
I think yes. This one is just an open-ended discussion. Thank you very much, honorable members at the department as well as the chairperson of FFC. I think your input has been so valuable to the committee, and I think it also helped even the department. And we believe that this interaction will continue. But seemingly as well, we normally say, really, human settlement is a very complex issue. People are just looking at houses that are being built, but the underlining
issues, they tend to be omitted. There's offsite on those issues. So, as this portfolio committee, it means we still have a lot to do, but I think this information, today's information, even from the department, we really appreciate. You always come, but what is difficult from your side is that you don't just come up front with the information. You want us to dig and dig and dig and dig. You want us to waste a lot of energy digging. And then you, at the end, you come up with issues that are very critical. And if they should have been attended earlier on, maybe we should not have found ourselves in the situation that we are. So we really request, appeal to the department. You must just, you don't necessarily to wait for us even to invite you to say, come with this. If you have got something that you think that it is important for the committee to know so that we assist you in addressing, just say, Chairperson, would like to come before the portfolio committee and talk about this. You must be proactive, because now you are coming. Those are very critical issues. Those are tangible issues that we need to tackle. The hardcore issues that are within the sector, so that we address the challenge of settling, of providing shelter to the people of this country. So please, don't be scared. We are there for you. Yes, we are going to weep when it is necessary. But at the end of the day, we weep and we have to come back. We come with the solutions that are going to assist you. Please, Chairperson, don't must not be tired of us. We'll give you a lot of work, because when you give you a lot of homework, it also assists the department. Nabo bacho bapalane yabona ngoba bashukuma ngoku because yabashukumisa yaba. So we really appreciate your support. Thank you so much. The meeting has adjourned. See you next time.
come back to us yesterday?
I think they did. My German officers came, but I was quite pleased when I saw that thing. I said, it's not the end of the world. And as my slogan would say, and that is to march forward, so let's just march forward and see how we're doing.
Okay.
But it was a good thing.
But I'm sure it's up by now.
Yeah.
If your office sent it back, I think it was on Monday or something.
Yes.
They were waiting for your office to come back to us.
No, I don't think so.
But it should be up.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mr. Bush.
You take care.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
I'm going to wait here over.
Yeah.